acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee again. Hallelujah. I know you fight for me. You will acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. For I know where my help comes from. Oh, my Father, my fighter, you're unstoppable, can't be limited, no, and your word is final. This is not the end, to you belongs the vengeance. Oh, I know you fight for me. Lord, I know you fight for me. You will acquit me, stand for me and avenge me of all my adversaries. I face an enemy stronger than I, but there is no day you will not answer when I call upon thee. Yes, oh, your mercy will never fail. You're my Father, my Father.
Praise the Lord. Oh, what a song. That's a song that's going to be sung by so many people around the world right there. That's a song that's going to be sung by so many people around the world. That's powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we pronounce the prophetic word over that song, and we declare, oh God, that it'll go all around the world over and over again. It will be sung by believers all around the world. Father, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that every assignment of the enemy be brought to naught now. Let this word go forth with great power, with punch. Let it knock down every voice that is contrary. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for your presence here and for the awesome things that you have done and will continue to do, because your name is above every other name. It is in you that we live, move, and have our being. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for every one of you. I do not take it lightly that you are here this evening. God created us as a people with the capacity to make choices. Some of you drove past many churches before you got here today. You're not here because you cannot hear anybody else. You're here because this is where God wants you. This is the meal that God wants you to eat. You are attentive to the directives of God, and you're here. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I am here and not somewhere else. I'm here because this is God's assignment for me to meet with you tonight. And together that we meet with God, our Father, together tonight. Paul, the apostle, was ministering the word of God in his world and in his time. And at a particular time, he came to a place called Mars Hill in Athens, Greece. I've been there. And I've stood at the place they said he preached the message from. The Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 22, it says, in the context of the passage, he is in Athens, he's walking around, and he comes to this place. The Bible says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." It's interesting that he uses those words, "you are too superstitious," as if one level of superstition, or there is a place of superstition that is good enough, you know, and when you go past there, then you are too. But it's also interesting that when he talks about superstition, he was talking about it in terms of these people who were philosophers. The Bible says, it says in verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens," he's waiting for Silas and Timotheus to come to him. He says, Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. A whole city given to idolatry. Mama, in her reading this morning, talked about a particular city where she grew up, how that particular city was filled with idolatry. He said, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." I want you to notice the context. Paul waited at Athens. His spirit is stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue. What is happening here? The dispute in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons in the market daily with them was this. How can this happen under your watch? Whether you know Jesus Christ or not, this doesn't matter. You are a Jew. You are a believer. How can this happen under your watch? And that's a question I ask myself tonight. And that's a question you need to ask yourself tonight. How can things be happening in our world the way it is happening while we are here and we believe that we believe God? Why is there cannabis stores all around where I am? Why is there so much poverty where I am? Why is there so much sickness where I am? And he disputed with them. There's so much idolatry in this place, and you are here. You are a Jew. You are here in the synagogue. Yeah, you are devout, committed people, and your city here in Athens is falling apart, and you're doing nothing. And the question to me, the question to you, is the same today. That's the question. Why are things the way they are, and we are here? What are we here for? Are we the salt that is losing its saltness, its capacity to bring about the slowing down of corruption? Why is there so much corruption? I went to my barber a week or so ago, and he made a comment. 3 or 4 weeks before that, he made a comment. 4 or 5 weeks before that, he made a comment. You say, what is the comment? The comment was, the devil is winning. God is losing. Everything is falling apart in our world. That was his comment. 3-4 times or so, he's made that comment while he's busy cutting my hair. I could find myself a hole and hide in it and say, this man is saying something to me. He didn't know he was saying it to me, but it was being said. And I want to ask you the same question today, because it's not just me. It's you. It's us. It's all of us, the churches in this city. Things are falling apart, and we are here, and it's happening under our watch. All over the world. But God is not losing. But the question needs to be addressed. We come to church. We are devoted. We are committed. We do what we do in church. We clap our hands. We shout our hallelujahs. We give our offerings. We get in our vehicles. We go home. We go to work, we come back to church, and all during that time, we've not stopped for a moment to engage the community. The average believer doesn't have many unbelieving people around them that they are reaching out to, because they've not attempted to reach the lost. So many want to go out to Africa, want to be a missionary, but they've not shared the gospel with the next door neighbor. They don't know their next door neighbor. They've not spoken to them directly or indirectly by example about the love of God. The question I need to ask myself today, and the question you need to ask yourself, is this. If you were to be convicted or arrested, can somebody truly, fully convict you that you are a Christian? This one is a Christian. Will you be convicted? Or will you go free? No, forget that one. No, he's not a Christian. No, she's not a Christian. Forget that thing. That guy is not a Christian. Is that what they're going to say? Or are they going to say, oh, definitely this one. Cut him right through. He is Christian all the way through. There are those who say they are Christians. They attend church. But they are dabbling with the idols that the idolaters have. There's no difference. And God calls us to a place where we are not just only different, but we are difference makers. So he disputed with them in the synagogue. Therefore, that's the key word. Why is it therefore there? The therefore there is because he saw in the whole city that the whole city was wholly given to idolatry. And these people were there in their synagogues. And with devout persons, committed people in the market daily, he met with them. Then it says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? He's talking nonsense. These are the smart ones discussing real philosophical ideas. They think they're smart. And here comes this guy, and what is he talking about? This guy's a babbler. Why are they calling him a babbler? Because Paul is busy speaking in tongues. You know, the word for speaking in tongues is the word glossolalia. And it's like speaking gibberish. But this guy, he just keeps on walking around here. And speaking, what is he saying? He's a babbler. They confronted him. I suppose the reason they're confronting him is because he is busy dealing in the realm of the spirit. He was dealing. The word of God says, except you bind a strong man, you cannot spoil his house. And he was dealing in the realm of the spirit, cutting through things. And something was beginning to happen on the inside of these guys. What is this guy talking about? What is he doing? If you were outside sitting and you were busy discussing and somebody starts coming and saying, what is this guy doing? What are you doing? You're disturbing us. So in one level, in the natural, devil's a liar. He was dealing with stuff in the realm of the spirit, and something was happening. Something was happening on the inside. What is this babbler doing? What will this babbler say? Other some he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. He's setting something up, something strange to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's setting something up. Why? Because he preached unto them. He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Speaking the word of God into their lives. He's speaking in tongues, tearing down strongholds. And then he's preaching to them, telling them about Jesus and telling them about the resurrection. And they took him and brought him onto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. So from this guy's a babbler, and him tearing down the strongholds' interests, they're no longer saying, this guy's talking nonsense. They brought him to a place, to the highest level, where they discuss their serious, serious stuff, and say, talk to us. What is this new doctrine? What is this new thing that you're talking about? They're willing to listen. Here were all these other people with their faith and their religion, and nothing was happening. And here comes this one man while he's waiting for his friends to come speedily. He's beginning to impact a whole city. Take him to almost like their city hall and say, talk to us. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We will know therefore what these things mean. What are you talking about? Because we've not been talking about this stuff that you're talking about. Nobody's told us about any of this. We want to add this to what we know. Talk to us. Are people inviting you and I to come talk to them? When you are in that office place, that workplace, how many people are, because you have dealt with things in the realm of the spirit, saying, talk to me, let me know, what is this Jesus thing? What is this church thing? What is this Christianity thing? Now, it's going to be Passover in just a few weeks from now. We're in the Lent season. What is this? I'd like to know. What is this about? They cannot get that message by Googling. Because Google is, I was listening to a message I preached about maybe 3-4 years ago. In that message, I was saying, I was saying, whatever answer you want. Actually, the story was about, I think it was Pastor Paul was asking me about the maker of the toilet, the name. And I said, I don't know. He said his name was John. I said, oh, I didn't know that. He said, do you know what his last name was? I said, no, I don't know. He says, his last name was Crapper. So it's John Crapper or something like that. So I started laughing. I said, this might be a joke, but you know what? Somebody can go on Google and actually say the name of the person who made the first toilet is John Crapper, and Google will accept it. And when you go Googling, that's what you're going to get. Well, this last week, it proved itself to be true. Exactly what I said. Proved itself to be true. Google AI Genesis or whatever it is changed the whole world. The Vikings were black. There were black Nazis and the black Pope. Everything was the whole shebang was a mess. Until Google had to come and confess we messed up. Based on one woman trying to do their, you know, DEI stuff and imputing information, and AI took all that information for truth. And when you ask AI questions, it pumps out all these erroneous answers, pictures and all. 4 years ago, I was talking about it, that this is what's going to happen. Our world is getting messed up right before us. You can't even believe what Google tells you anymore. That's why I told you, get a hard copy Bible. Huh? Because your Bible one day, it's going to be, and God created Adam and Steve. You think I'm joking? Huh? They're going to make a Bible that is consumer friendly as it relates to a fallen, defeated, confused people. Transgenderism is going to be okay. Homosexuality is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. And some say, why are you preaching that? It says here in the Bible. It says here in the Bible. The lies of the devil cannot take precedence in any aspect of our lives. Amen? It says, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we will know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They were all there to present something. But those that were in the synagogue were not in that atmosphere. Didn't they have something to share? Didn't they have at least the simple word, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Didn't they have that? Didn't they have, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet? Didn't they have that? Didn't they have, honor the Sabbath, rest? Didn't they have that? But what they had, they didn't think compared with all these smart alecks with their doctorate degrees. I saw this clip. A professor came and was talking to a young girl. The girl was maybe about 10 years or so, and his older brother or father, I don't know. This professor says, "There is no God." And the young girl and the father and or brother are shocked. So why would you say something like that? There's no God. Said, "Well, have you seen God?" Said, "No." "Well, since I cannot prove scientifically that there is a God, there is no God. And you guys that are trying to worship God, you're fooling yourself." So he's going back into his car, and the kid says to him, says, "Professor," said, "yeah. Is what you are saying, does it make sense?" He said, "Yes." So she says to him, "Have you seen sense?" He said, "No. But if you have sense, where will it be?" He says, "It is here." He said, "Have you seen it?" He said, "No." He said, "Since you have not seen it, just like you said, if you can't see it and prove it, there is no God. Since you cannot show me sense, you have no sense." "You have no sense." And the professor just stares at her, and he's mesmerized. The little kid just outsmarted him with his smartness. Why do I tell you that story? Because you have what you need. It takes just a little prick to bust a balloon. It's gone. And you and I need to understand that we've got something. I have something. You've got something to share. There is nothing as powerful as your personal testimony. The testimony of what God has done in your life. Who knows it? You have something. It's not your money. It is the wisdom of God in you that you can use. I don't have much to say. You don't need much to say. You just need to say what needs to be said. And it suffices. It takes that which is foolish to dumbfound the wise, the Word of God says. You have something inside of you that is going to touch a man and bring that man to the place where he surrenders his life to God. Don't discount it. The world is falling apart because our mouths are shut. But the people want to hear what you have to say. So the Word of God says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.'" And understand that the superstition is connected to their mindset, to the philosophies and the ideologies that they've been putting together. He says, all of that is superstition. Superstition. Oh, that superstition. You need the real deal, the real thing. He says, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions. Look at that. I beheld your what? Devotions. Is that not the same word we use for spiritual things? And God is saying, whatever it is that's happening in the world, it's a devotion. It's a devotion to idolatry. All of it. They're studying and meditating and doing all they're doing, and it becomes a religious act. He says, I saw your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription. In all that you are doing, something on the inside caused you guys to make an altar. And that altar you marked out to the unknown God. Because deep within you, you understood that none of this happened by chance. There's got to be something that caused all of this to be. The very fact that the earth is where it is in reference to where the sun is, and the force of gravity that puts us in the exact spot that we are, didn't happen by accident. Just a little bit. Not even half a kilometer different can cause us to be burnt up completely. And in the other direction, cause us to fall apart completely. And we are here. And we've been here. This world, the scientist says it's millions of years, but we've been here in our orbit as compared to the sun, as compared to the moon, and the gravitational forces that are happening. And all of that is happening, tick, 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 all in balance. It didn't just happen. This is not the result of some big bang. If it were because of a big bang, we will not stay in the orbit that we are. The God who created everything, I remember going to SeaWorld or some aquarium place in California and also in Seoul, Korea, when I had time many years ago when God sent me to Seoul, Korea, and seeing different fishes and seeing the coloring. Man, God took time to create it. This happened by Big Bang. This fish has amazing blues and greens and yellows and reds. And this happened by Big Bang. Huh? This just happened. No, there was an active creator. And they knew. We don't know who did this. So we're going to make it to the unknown God. So Paul seizes on the opportunity, says, you have an altar for the unknown God. Let me tell you about the unknown God, because I know that God that you are desiring to know but don't know because you don't know. So let me tell you. He says, whom therefore you ignorantly, watch this, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. You ignorantly are still worshiping him. You point your libations to your other gods and you say, and to the unknown God. You're not relating with him, but you say, oh God, help me. Because I tell you what, if you're in a plane and the plane is coming down and you're an atheist, you are going to cry out sooner or later, Oh God. But you don't believe this God. But now you're crying out to him. How quickly people change their perspective. He says you worship him. So he says in verse 24, God that made the world. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. There in front of them were temples. He says, God doesn't live in those temples made with hands. That's not where he lives. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God needs nothing. He's the one who gives. I want to talk to you about him. And had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The God I'm talking to you about is the one who chose to make you Caucasian, to make you a Negro, to make you an indigenous Indian, to make you an East Indian. He's a God who made you to become Chinese and you Japanese and you German and you Ukrainian. He decided where you were going to be born. And he decided where you were going to live. He determined everyone's place in life. He is involved and engaged in the affairs of men. He is not an absent father. He's involved. And he doesn't live there. In that temple, he lives inside of you. And all of this smart talk that you're having, some of it is true if you are aligned with the truth. So I'm not here to beat you down and tell you that 2 plus 2 is not equal to 4. 2 plus 2 is 4. But I'm here to tell you that it's more than that. That there is a God who, this God, is able to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed thousands and thousands of people, because he's not limited to your natural mind. Your superstition is based on your belief system, based on what you think the possibilities are. But God is more than that. Amen? And he's appointed and positioned everybody where they belong. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's not far. But he wants you to desire to know him. And he wants to make himself known to you. This is a God, known God. That's why you are able to have that rendition right there to the unknown God. It's because God has been close to you. And that's the message that we need to bring to the people of the world. God loves you. He's been with you. He's never forsaken you. Have you ever prayed a prayer when, you know, And the prayer was answered? Yeah, that was God. Because he loves you. Even though you don't know him, he knows you. And can you imagine what he's going to do when you get to know him and you recognize his place in your life? When your worship becomes real and relevant and true? Can you imagine what he's going to do? You don't belong to Satan. God loves you. You're a child of God. You say, no, it can't be children of God. Wait a minute. That's what you think. He says, for in him, remember who he's talking to. He's talking to these Athenians, these philosophers, these Epicureans, these guys that are Stoics. He's talking to these people that are brain-minded. These people that are filled with all kinds of ideas and ideologies. He's saying to them, it is in him that we live and move and have our being. And this is the catcher. He says, as certain also of your own poets have said, even your poets have even said the same. You just didn't know the detail. Now I've come to tell you the detail. Let me tell you, the unbeliever out there, most of them have an idea of something and they don't know what they know. And it's your place and my place to reach them, to give them an understanding of what it is that life is all about, what's happening. Just like Philip joined the Ethiopian eunuch and says, you don't know what you're reading, let me explain it to you. The little that you've learned is more than enough to bring somebody else to salvation. But watch this thing. It says, for we are also his what? Offspring. Huh? Who is he talking to? He's talking to unbelievers. He says, we are also his offspring. You. Understand that you, if you are an offspring of him, you came out of him. A monkey cannot be an offspring of me. I cannot have an offspring that is a cow. Moo. It's not going to happen. An offspring has to be like me. Because it came out of me. And Paul is saying, we are also his offspring. And that's why he's upset with these people that are in the synagogues and not telling the people, hey, you're a child of God. You don't need idols. We've got a message. We have something to say. You're a child of God. You know, Mama, when she was young, suppose she was about 4 or 5 years old, she saw a woman, pregnant woman, smoking. And she comes to the woman and says, don't you know that as a pregnant woman, you should not be smoking? Where did she learn that from? She'd not gone to school yet. She didn't get it from television. We didn't have televisions. At least she didn't have any television in their home at that time. Where did she get that? From the Spirit. From the Spirit. You get to know things that you have no other way of knowing other than God revealed it to you by His Spirit. You've heard me tell the story about how my daughter, Ashley, when she was little, she was about 2 years old or maybe a year and a half, two. At this point, she could crawl around. She would keep on going to a flower pot, digging into the flower pot and putting soil in her mouth. We'll come there and wash her mouth out and say, don't do that. That's bad. Bad. She's doing that for months. Every other day she's there, grabbing soil and eating it. So she had a checkup. We went to the doctor and And we said to the doctor, we don't understand. This kid keeps on going to the flower pot and eating sand. Oh, she said, oh, I know what that is. She needs iron. She needs iron. He gives us a prescription. We get the prescription. We give the girl iron drops. That was the last time she went to the pot. You know what I'm saying? How did she know? Because on the inside, in your spirit, you know things. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being. God knows what you need. Sometimes you're going to crave for certain things because that's what you need. That's why women sometimes will start craving some things when they are pregnant. She doesn't like it normally, but she's craving it. And she's got to have it because her body needs it. Her spirit knows that she needs it. God knows exactly what you need. You won't be opening, walking around, and you start looking at the Bible, and you open, and a verse catches your attention, and you start reading it. That's what you needed. That word. Take note of it. That's what you needed. God has not left you like an orphan. He's very engaged. And He's saying, you, my offspring. And as the offspring of God, we need the Word of God. He says, for we are also His offspring. And the next verse makes this statement, drives it home. It says, for as much then as we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. All this nonsense you guys are spending money building and putting together, that's nonsense. That's not God. God is more than that. In fact, God is inside of you. And stop doing all this nonsense. Bow. He says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. You've been ignorant. And God just, they don't know any better. He says, but now. Someone say, but now. Say it again, but now. One more time, but now. Commanded all men everywhere to repent. It's time to repent. It's time to change. It's time to go up to the higher level where you belong. As a child of God, because He had appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He had ordained, whereof He had given assurance unto all men, in that He had raised Him from the dead. They listened till He got to the place of the resurrection of the dead. And that didn't make any sense to them because that was beyond natural thinking. If you're dead, you're dead. How do you come back to life? So the Bible says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Okay, now that was too much. We'll hear you again. Because you made a lot of sense, but this part, it's a little bit hard. Yeah, not everybody is going to receive what you have to say completely. But at least you know. You told them. What we don't want is for God to come and say, What did you do with the truth I gave to you to champion? What did you do with the message I put in your mouth for a lost world? What did you do with it? Every day, God gives you an opportunity. Don't forget that. Your responsibility doesn't start and end in you being in church. Your responsibility and mine is to be fishers of men. Jesus, our Lord, tells the parable of the sower who went out. It says he scattered the seeds. Some fell on the pathway. Some fell on the rocky land. Some fell where thorns grew. And some fell on a good tilled land. The one that fell on the pathway, picked up by the birds. Seems like that's the end of it, but the reality is, as far as God is concerned, the bird eats it and is going to poop it out somewhere else, and we just land on good soil. So sometimes what you think is lost is not really lost. It just shows up somewhere else. The one that fell amongst rock, they're so happy, they're joyful, they're excited, but they did not have any root in themselves. They did not know that they were offsprings of God. No root in themselves. Died off. The ones that fell out in a proper place, looked like nothing, it says thorns came up and choked it. And it did not yield its fruit. The fruit appeared. Looks like you're going to have a harvest, but it is choked. And then some fell on the good soil. Point. You don't know which one is going to work out. You don't know which one of those people that you're chatting with, making friends with, inviting to church, which one is going to make it and come through. Look at you. You're here. Are you not? Ryan, you're here, right? And you've been here all this time. Huh. What if we decided and somebody thought, Ryan will never come, and didn't invite, didn't do anything, didn't pray? You will not be here. What about you? 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 What about every one of us here? What about me? I was so messed up. You didn't want to preach to me. The person who's trying to preach to me, I'm in church, I'm trying to punch the pastor in church. And look at me now. Look at me now. I'm the one preaching. Going out all around the world. Say me? Yeah. You never know the soil, what is going to happen. You don't know. So don't judge people. Just tell them what you need to tell them with the love of God, and understand that God sees them as his offspring. That's my offspring. That one was created in my image and likeness. So basically, the news is we going out and telling people, hey, Papa is not mad at you. He wants you home. God is for you, not against you. You go to work. And rather than just saying good morning and say, God bless you today. Have a wonderful day. Have a God day today. Right. If I go to the bank and I ask, at least those ones that have known me for a while, I say, how are you doing today? Guess what they're going to say to me? Blessed and highly favored. That's what they're going to say. If I call a restaurant that I order food from, and I'm trying to order and say, how are you doing today? And I say, blessed and highly favored. The next thing they're going to say is this Mike? Oh, I'm seeing it. I don't know how God is going to use you to touch somebody's life, but touch them, you must. Back to where we started and our wrap. And Paul debated with them in the synagogues. He went to the synagogue and he said to them, what's going on here? Reason, he had gone around the town and he saw that the whole place was given to idolatry. Meanwhile, there were people in the synagogue, devout men, and he's disputing with them and challenging them and saying, how can this happen in your watch? And that's a challenge I bring to every one of us here today. How can all of this be happening under our watch? We must put a halt to it and not be silent. Rise with me. I don't know what you've heard tonight, but I pray that you heard loud and clear what was proclaimed. I don't know what kind of commitment you are willing to make before the Lord. But my prayer is that the commitment be, God help me be a witness. The commission of the Lord is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go tell the lost. We sing that song, go tell it on the mountain. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's stop saying, my city is hard. The people are not going to listen. Well, stop prejudging. You know what prejudice is? It's prejudging. Stop being prejudiced against those that do not know God. Because once upon a time, that was you. Once upon a time, that was you. Once upon a time, that was you. So stop judging them. Just tell them the good news of God's love. Amen? Heavenly Father, we surrender our lives to you. Make us men and women that impact our world with your love. Whatever way you elect to use us, we cry out, Lord, use us. Just use my life. Use our lives. Use this, your church, to proclaim your lordship everywhere we go. We declare, O God, that ears be open and attentive to hear us and to receive your loving kindness. Let your peace take a hold of hearts. And Lord, O God, with every opportunity we have, We trust you that grace is sufficient. For some of us, we might be sowing the seed. For others, they might be watering the plant that has been sown. But Lord, we know that you are the God who brings forth the increase. Help us to do our part so that your name may be fully embraced. And those that do not know your resurrection life will begin to appreciate it. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being, our existence. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for every one of you and for this wonderful opportunity to share the word of God with you. At this time, we will honor God with our giving, remembering that God is a God who opens the windows of heaven and pours out his blessings upon us. Remember that God will speak into your offering, into the seed that you give to him. Our greatest seed is a surrendered heart, a surrendered life that is willing to share the love of God with the world. May God breathe on that which we sow and cause us all to prosper, flourish, blossom, and experience life to the full. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wednesday is leadership, Bible study. Those of you that are not part of leadership, you can log in online on Zoom, and you'll be able to participate in the Bible study that way. But right here in the house, it will be primarily for our leadership team. The first Friday and the first Wednesday of the month, of every month, is prayer meeting for leaders and Bible study for leaders. Okay? So this Wednesday, do take note of that. If you are not part of the leadership, stay home, watch online. And those that are leaders, please make certain that you are here. Amen? Or logged in on the specific Zoom line for the leadership team. Do I have anyone online on Zoom? Thank you so very much, everyone. Good night to those who are on Facebook and YouTube, and those on Zoom. Praise the Lord.